The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have everyone back, but let me tell you, I'm even more excited to have our guest on today. He's the Senior VP at Colliers International, Chuck Littell. Chuck, thanks for joining us today. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Cody.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I'm super excited to have you on board. It's been an honor to kind of get to know you before we hit record. For those that are maybe hearing your name and voice for the first time, but hopefully not, but if they are, tell us a little bit about where you grew up, or where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Well, I've been an industrial real estate broker based in Los Angeles, coming up on 25 years this fall. Careful, you blink and all of a sudden you're in your career for a long time, so make sure you're on the right path. I've been a Californian my whole life. I grew up in San Francisco, school in San Diego, and landed in LA. So I've just bounced from amongst the three largest coastal cities in California. Right now, or I should say for the last, 6 or 7 years, really my focus has been on working with large industrial tenants across the country. So, probably half of my business at this point is out of state as much as it is, local here in LA, representing clients on primarily single clients that have multiple deals. That's really the focus of my business. So
awesome. Awesome.
I happen to be a very fortunate beneficiary of some dumb luck in that industrial is by far the hottest of any, commercial real estate class right now by a large margin. It's the market's very, very strong.
You say dumb luck. What I truly think is probably a little bit of hard work on the back end there that no one likes to admit to. But hey, that's awesome. We bring on a lot of different guests and I love that everyone brings a little bit different background to this podcast and to their career. And I love what you said. Oftentimes we find ourselves, it's like, hey, we'll take this job and it's not going to be our career. We're just taking a job, right? And then you blink and you're getting your golden watch if anybody does that anymore. And you go, oh man, that was a career. I've been here for 30 years. So that's awesome. Well, congratulations
to
you.
I can say though, if I think you mentioned that you like to talk about some, avoiding pitfalls and some problems. I did definitely spend some time before I started my career, playing around in different jobs and realizing that's something I like, I don't like. So there was some forethought at the beginning, but definitely once the career begins, then all of a sudden you look back and the years start to click by quicker and quicker.
Yeah, I completely understand that. Well, Chuck, we brought you on here to talk a little bit about today from the real estate side. And I know you're maybe a little bit different than some of our other guests, and that's why we love having you on. But we did bring you on here to talk a little bit about challenges, struggles, failures that you've seen in your career and you being in it as long as you have. I'm anxious to hear some of the stories you can tell our audience today on some of the things that really happen in the real estate space.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that the main lesson that I've learned in my time in brokerage, strictly on the brokerage side, I would say it's really, really keen to find something within the business that you like to do and focus on being really good at one thing before you add something else. I definitely was a bit too much of a generalist in the beginning of my career and trying to capture any deal that I could in different spaces and slightly different product types. And it didn't really do a whole lot to advance my career. And once I really narrowed my focus, that's really when things took off. So, find one thing and be really, really good at it. That was my core lesson that I learned through my brokerage experience.
That's interesting. We've heard that on the investor side as well. But I would imagine for those that are listening that are maybe they're looking at getting into being a broker, or maybe they're new to being a broker. I would imagine it's hard to have that realization and to really only focus on one thing. You may see people hitting some home runs or getting some at bats at other opportunities. Whereas if you're only focused on one thing, it can sometimes feel like you're missing out on other opportunities. But what you're saying is it really helps you hone your craft. And then you will, it may be, to correct me if I'm wrong, might be a little slower in the beginning, But when it starts to take off, it really takes off because you're the expert in that field.
Yes, that's the kicker. You want to make sure that you're building your knowledge so that you build a brand that goes, your skill set so that you build a brand that goes with it. So then people call on you because they know, you know, what your one thing is. Is it you know, your expertise in a local area? Is it your expertise in a certain, you know, industry type, that sort of thing? And you know, like everything, it's gray. It's not black and white. So absolutely staying flexible and being, you know, along the way and being open that maybe you spent a year or maybe you spent a few years focusing on one thing to get really good at it and it was the wrong thing, and that you have to focus on the other things. So that really is important that you also always keep your options open as well.
Yeah. I think that idea of you don't know till you know. Right.
Yes.
It's one of those things you go down, you chase something and you don't know where it's going to lead you. And sometimes it pays off and other times you have to pivot and try something else.
Yeah. Well, in our one thing about brokerage, you know, it's an easier job in the sense of tracking your progress, right? Because you can just look at your production. So some industries and some jobs are, you never really see anything concrete. It's, you know, it's just moving, trying to move mountains. But in what we do, you can really sort of, it's easier to track whether you're doing the right thing or not.
So from the broker side, what do you feel like if you were to take on, say, a mentor, somebody that was wanting to get into the brokerage side of the house, what are some key things that you would be telling that person to help them specialize and figure out what they want to specialize in and then where they would go to find some of that aspect to really specialize in?
You know, if you're brand new to the business, I think the most important thing is to find somebody, you know, senior who can mentor you, a senior agent or broker who can mentor you. And, you know, in some senses, that'll kind of define what your first focus is, right? In terms of, you know, if you're going to be an office or retail or industrial broker. You know, so it, as a first step, that's the most important, that you find a successful team to join and that, you know, that's step one. And then once you get within the team and then once you get some little bit of traction, that's when you can start to say, okay, what am I particularly good at? Am I better at sort of, you know, running accounts? Am I better at getting that first meeting through the front door? You know, that's the sort of thing that I've been able to, you know, earlier on in my career, figure out what things I'm good at. And then as I brought on team members, figure out where their roles are.
Gotcha. Well, no, I love that. We love the idea here of the mentorship, regardless if you're a broker or an investor, like that concept, whether you're working for an organization where they have that type of work, you know, that type of program and mentorship internally, or even if you're going out and finding somebody and even paying for it, like keeps coming up. It's worth it, people. It's worth it. Like find the mentor. Chuck, I'd be interested to know from the brokerage side, what other kind of things did you face or that have you faced from a challenge standpoint that you had to overcome to be where you are today, 25 years later?
Well, I had to survive 2008 and 2009. That was a very challenging time. You know, effectively everything stopped. What was interesting, you know, this time is, you know, with the beginning of challenges we faced last year, is, you know, kind of immediately my mindset went to, you know, oh, here we go. 08-09 is going to happen again. And we're going to have to figure out how to, you know, stay nimble and get through it. And then actually it ended up being exact reverse, because pretty quickly the industrial market became much hotter than it was before the shutdown. So that was unique. But the main lesson I got out of that time period was stay the course, because, you know, fortunately, I remember at the time there was somebody that mentioned to me that, you know, when there's a really challenging time in the greater economy, it's the people who stay in the business, who, you know, stay the course and deal with the bumps in the road. They're the ones that benefit when things get better. And boy, that really happened to me. So, you know, just because you're facing a short-term challenges, don't give up. That was my key lesson that I learned there.
Yeah. So the idea of marathon, not a sprint, and, you know,
100%. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, from somebody 25 years in, I mean, you've seen a bunch of ups and downs, right? I mean,
yeah, nothing, but well, yes and no. I mean, the ups and downs besides 08 and 09 weren't much of all, right, at all, right? They were, when I got in the business, it was right at the end of the early 90s issues that the markets faced. And it was kind of always up except for that 08 and 09 when it was a huge difference. So yeah, I've been spoiled. It's been mostly good timing, very good timing.
Sure. Well, and I mean, Listen, real estate continues to be something that pays off for a lot of people from a career standpoint, whether you're on the broker side or the investor side. It's, you have to play with the hand you're dealt. So if, whenever you're getting in, you have to understand what you're getting into and then play with those cards that you're dealt with, because that's all you got.
Yep. And don't be afraid to be a contrarian. There's a lot of people that were contrarians in the 08, 09 time period, and they did very, very well because they were the only guys in the room that were buying, or they had some maybe almost blind optimism that others didn't. And boy, it really paid off for them. So,
well, sure. I mean, similar, I would imagine it works similarly from where, if you're more of a traditional finance person, you hear a lot, like if you're investing in the market, you buy when it's down.
Yeah, right?
You want to make your moves when the market's down, not when the market's up. That's when you sell, or you hold and do your things. But when the market's down, you want to maybe be a little bit aggressive, strategically aggressive, but you can be a little bit more aggressive. You mentioned building the brand and kind of building the business. From the broker side, what are some things that you've maybe seen in your career that have either changed or been more challenging than maybe now rather than when you started?
It's interesting. Actually, it's almost the reverse. In a lot of ways, our business is a lot easier because the information is a lot easier to obtain and track. You know, I sound like a fossil, which I swear I'm not. But, you know, when I got in, I got to see the very end of the paper-only business. That's what we were. Everything was still on paper. There wasn't even an online multiple at the time. So, you know, it's gotten easier, but you just, as a result, you have to be more nimble, and you always have to be, you know, learning new things. And that's like exactly what I'm doing right now by participating in your podcast, which is great. And, you know, that's sort of thing when I first heard of guys doing that. And I just thought, what does that have to do with brokerage? And now I realize, you know, it's an important part to getting out there and having people, learn about what you're good at and what you do, and hopefully results in some opportunities.
There you go. Well, I would be remiss. I know we have a lot of people that are more so on the investor side listening, or folks that want to maybe get on the investor side. So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, you know, for those that are investors, the thing that we all hear nowadays is deal flow, deal flow, deal flow. How what is the best way if somebody's cutting their teeth or relatively new, maybe a little bit more inexperienced than some of the others out there? How are the best way for them to get your attention as a serious buyer and somebody that can actually get a deal closed? What are the types of things that you look for or think that are important for some of those folks that are maybe a little bit newer?
You know, I'll tell you that the number one thing about understanding how to uncover deals, especially if you're working through the brokerage community, which, you know, most investors that are successful I know of are doing that. You have to presume that brokers have a very, very short attention span and a very short memory. And I don't mean that as any insult to any investor out there, because there's a lot of really great ones, but it's literally about who's on the top of the mind when opportunities come up. And I've had some very good relationships of mine, investors, and they've talked about, you know, out of state in California, and they come over to California, and then they can see that over, you know, the next few weeks, their phone's ringing more, they see more opportunities, and then it sort of dies off, and then they have to come back. So ongoing, you have to really look at the uncovering of opportunities as a full-time job that you can never let up on. So the most successful groups that I've seen in terms of acquisitions, they're, you know, just, it's just pound the pavement, shake the trees, nudge the brokers. So that's the most important thing of all, and never let up on it.
Perfect. Well, folks, you heard it here directly from the broker's mouth. You know, pound the pavement, make sure that you're staying in front of them. Chuck, I think that's as good enough spot as ever to kind of wrap up. I think you gave us a ton of things to think about, whether it's making sure that you have the right mindset when there are those challenging times, staying in it and understanding it's not a short-term philosophy that you have to have in the real estate market, that it is definitely a marathon and you have to stay in it for the long course. So, folks, if you haven't jotted down all the notes, I would implore you to go back and play that again and listen to what Chuck said, because there were some really good things in there. Chuck, I can't thank you enough for joining us today and taking some time to be part of it. For those that want to work with you, want to connect with you, want to learn from you, what is the best place people can find you at?
I'm very active on LinkedIn these days. Always easiest to find me there. Chuck Littell, L-I-T-T-E-L-L. And I'm here at Colliers in Los Angeles, and you can also reach out to me here. glad to help if anybody has any questions or any projects I can help.
That's awesome. Chuck, again, thank you truly for jumping on and speaking to us in the audience today.
Thanks for having me, Cody.
Absolutely. And we'll catch everyone next time. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.